Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We're now going to be speaking to Roger Lilly, an energy analyst. Good afternoon, Roger.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You must be Robin.
I'm Robin, yes. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I feel like we might need a few hours for this discussion, but we're going to try and condense it into a few minutes. So I think we're going to be speaking mainly about diesel today. So many interesting facts about diesel that affect load shedding electricity. And also interestingly, I know for me, it was always like if you had a diesel car, you always paid less for diesel. And now the price seems to have shot up. Maybe let's start over there. If you can just explain to us what has happened with diesel and why have the prices increased so drastically?
Okay, we can start there. Diesel and petrol come from the same source. The crude is the same, and the crude comes from the same mines or the same pits and is processed differently. So you end up with diesel or you end up with petrol. And in petrol, of course, you get different grades. And in diesel, you also get different grades because of the sulfur content can be reduced. However, the prices of diesel and crude oil in general is controlled by a central body, and that central body controls the price in US dollars, which of course then is affected by our exchange rate. So as the rand depreciates against the dollar, then the price of fuel goes up. We also have a problem in that the government has added a certain amount of levy tax to the oil or the petrol that we buy at the petrol station. So this also adds to the problem. Now, for a while in South Africa during the COVID period, some of those levies were held back by government, but of course they can't survive on that. So they've had to reinstitute those levies, hence the big increases in fuel prices recently.
Wow. And we know Sasol used to stockpile reserves of diesel. Do they still do that?
I'm not sure if Sasol will do that. The South African Energy Fund holds a stockpile of fuel, which we hear different reports about. Sometimes we hear that some of it's been sold, and then we hear, no, it's all there, so we're not quite sure what the reality is. South Africa does, in general, hold a stockpile of fuel, but not for price purposes. They hold it there for strategic purposes, so that if for any reason fuel is difficult to come by, the country is not stranded overnight. Unfortunately, we can't do the same with electricity.
Yeah. And Gary and I were chatting just before the interview. He told me that Eskom spent 12 billion rand on diesel, which is way above their budget for that. And then I was reading in the in the Daily Maverick article today. It says there were more power cuts in September this year than in any other entire year since load shedding started in 2007. Just over 570 of the total 720 hours in the month of September were affected. So how is it possible that they have so much surplus diesel, but we stuck without power, or is there something else that's missing in this?
Well, the Central Energy Fund might own the petrol or the diesel. Doesn't mean that Eskom had access to it. The problem that Eskom has is Eskom simply is so cash-strapped that it now cannot pay for diesel from any source. And in fact, Minister Gordhan, who's responsible for Eskom amongst the other state-owned enterprises, is apparently holding urgent meetings to try and find either diesel or money for diesel. Quite sure about that. But so, yeah, the problem is that to some extent, load shedding has been minimized by the fact that the power utility, Eskom, has used its diesel-fired peaking generators as full-time generators, which they were never designed to do anyway. They were supposed to only run for about 2 or 3 hours every 24 hours, just to carry us over the peak. But, of course, with load shedding being so severe, Eskom has decided to do that. And that's where the 12 billion rand in diesel has gone. And that's only to the end of October, or about, I think, the 11th of November was the measure. So we're not even at year end, and we've already overshot the budget significantly in diesel costs.
It was. I was also reading in the article on Daily Maverick that Checkers, They said that when load shedding hits stage 5 or 6, it costs them 100 million rand a month extra, just to keep the shops running. That obviously affects us in terms of food prices, you know, our cost of living. How is this the knock on effect impacting us?
Well, it is impacting us exactly as you've just described. Now, some of the retailers and some of the big shopping centres have started mitigating that by putting solar panels on their roof. And in fact, that's a big help. But of course, it only works during the day. And it only works during the day when it's a nice sunny day. If there's too much cloud cover, then the power that comes off the solar panels, while there is some power, isn't sufficient to meet the shopping center or the retailer's requirements. And so they're still reliant either on a diesel generator or, of course, Eskom. So when Eskom institutes many hours of load shedding, you know, when it goes to 3 and 4 hours as they have done before, then retailers really take a knock. And I'm sure you've seen as well as I have, and your listeners probably have seen it also, where sometimes you walk into a shopping mall during load shedding, and it's only the big anchor shops that are open. The others are, maybe the doors are open, but they're using little battery lanterns or something to try and illuminate the shop. And many shops simply close because the risk of shoplifting or other problems is too great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been discussing today, can we be more proactive as citizens? So maybe you can just give us in brief, where to from here? Can things get better? And is there any good news in the diesel situation that we face ourselves in at the moment?
Okay, there is good news. The good news, unfortunately, is not news that's going to materialize tomorrow. But the good news is that the South African government has released the levels of control to the point where the private sector can become far more involved in the generation of electricity. So since that is happening, and since Eskom has already started, as you know, it has shut down one of its power stations and is going to convert that to gas-fired, that will be done by an IPP, an independent power producer. So Eskom will still own the power station, but they won't own the generating plant and they won't be involved in it. So that will be in the hands of the private sector. And so that's on top of wind and solar that's already happening and continues to roll out. And, of course, we know that there's a lot of pressure on the South African government from the international community in terms of climate change and our emissions problems, so that, you know, money has been made available in large quantity. Over 300 billion rand has been made available to South Africa to help with the transition away from coal, away from oil, which is diesel, of course, and to use cleaner technology.
Wow.
Regrettably, we still have challenges because certain decision makers at government level are dragging their heels on this because they don't seem to understand or see the same needs and same emergency as the rest of us seem to.
Yeah, but that is some hopeful news there. And just a big thank you, Roger Lilly, from an energy analyst, for joining us this afternoon on The Overdrive.